Well, welcome everybody to Satsang. I always like to begin by quoting my guru, Swami Muktananda, who always began his talks by saying in Hindi, Sabko bade sammaan ke saath prem se hrdik swagat. With great respect and love, I welcome you all with all my heart. And he would always say, that's the essence of spirituality, to welcome another person with love. And I want to welcome you all in that spirit tonight. And our guests from India, it's great to see Iqbal and Victor. And we've been going to India since, as a group, since 2007. And this is the seventh trip coming up. Seventh group trip. And Iqbal's always taking care of us like a mother. And he's done such a great job. So it's wonderful to see you again. It means Ganesh Puri is soon. So as Vani said, actually on the 15th of October, which was Monday, was 100 years. Sai Baba took samadhi, that is, he died, on October 15th, 1918. And just to give you an idea, 1918 was... Wasn't at the end of the First World War. So that's when he died, and so it's 100 years, very significant. And as Vani also said, he's grown and grown and become more and more famous, it seems. I even think he's the avatar of our age. So what do we have, photos? There aren't too many photos of Sai Baba, but here's one. That's his true form. great. Next one. Here he is with devotees. Now, you know, strangely and wonderfully, a little Sai Baba temple has opened in Morty Alec. Of all places, and it's the most extraordinary little place. I can't describe it, but it's fitting. One of the things in the charm, it's a lot of charm. All the devotees of his time, our pictures are on the wall there. That all these guys who told stories of Sai Baba, we see around him. Don't ask me what their names are, but we could find out. But there's Sai with the white beard, and he's surrounded by some of his prominent devotees of the time. What else do you have? Another one? Yeah. Similar bunch of devotees, and he's sitting there. Okay, so. Got another, and that's the Murti. Beautiful marble, lifelike Murti, or statue of Sai Baba that's there. In fact, you can get live. Can you do it now? You think you could do it? Let our cyber genius, Girish, they have a, is it a 24-hour?
I think so.
They have live broadcast from Sai Baba's samadhi. Not much is going on, truth be told. But there's a constant flow of people in. We'll see if we can get it up there. So, Sai Baba. Baba Muktananda always had many, many pictures of Bhagwan Nityananda, his guru, up. He was prominently displayed. Baba always had a picture of Bhagwan above him whenever he gave a talk. Oh, look. All right, you want to turn? Can we turn the light down there?
No audio there.
No audio? No. This is live? This is a live feed from Shirdi in Maharashtra. And there's the Murti. And the Brahmin priests are in red there. And there's a constant stream of devotees coming up to have darshan and giving garlands and so on. And the priest's function here is more athletic than anything else. Bending and picking up flowers and so on. I find it quite fascinating. Sometimes I watch it for a long time and go into a kind of trance. I'm always talking to the temple. What happened? Something funny? Yeah, yeah. I always want them to do this for Bhagwan in Ganeshpuri, so you can have a live feed, and especially during the aartis. Their aartis in Ganeshpuri at wake up around 4 a.m., and then there's certainly one at noon, and then one at 8 o'clock. What happened?
A flower got thrown.
What?
They threw a flower at him. He's getting angry.
Oh, yeah. He's telling them, he's trying to reason with them, tell them, don't do that. You can sort of watch that. Are you going to pay attention to my talk, or we're going to turn this off? I know, there's a strange fascination in watching that. Okay, let's turn it off.
What you don't see is how many billion people there are going past.
Say it again?
What you don't see from that video is how many billion people there are.
Yeah, that's right. They're, the people, they don't show you the people going by and coming in. And they're herded like cattle in a way, yeah, so. Anyway, Baba always had Bhagwan Nityananda, of course, but he also had certain saints that he always gave prominence to. Big pictures of Sai Baba of Shirdi and of two that helped him personally in his sadhana. They were Zipruana and Harigiri Baba. And the fourth one that he had was Akalkot Swami, or Swami Samarth, another great avadut from the 19th century. We have all the pictures of people I'm mentioning here. So here's what Baba says about Sai Baba of Shirdi. Baba says, Sai Baba of Shirdi was great. He appeased his hunger through the alms he received daily. He would always go out and beg for food in the traditional sadhu method. He loved to listen to music very much. At any given moment, he could offer people handfuls of money, which he extracted from his empty pockets. He wore a long, straight robe and a band around his head. And they say it was like an, a Muslim, an Islamic fakir that he dressed like that. Baba says he was a great siddha, a man of the highest realization. Sai Baba was adored by all, rich and poor alike. If someone made him a gift, he would always give it away to somebody present there. He had no desire for possessions. He was supremely compassionate and soothed the pain and suffering of the poor. His influence is still felt around the world. I think it's increasing all the time. You'll see that if you go in, anywhere in India and take a taxi cab, there's usually a picture of Sai Baba on the taxi cabs. And there are temples coming up everywhere. There's one near Ganeshpuri. What?
One in Saigon.
In Saigon? Wow. Well, Morty Alec. The crowds which ran up to him had absolute faith in his greatness. When he left his body, he told the people, now the stones of my samadhi shall answer you. I'm going to read some of the statements he made about what would happen after his death. From that time on, Shirdi has become a magnificent sacred place. There is a constant flux of visitors who come from near and far. Everything is organized so that a great number of people may sojourn in Shirdi. It has become a great siddha sanctuary. And I think it's noticeably bigger. I first went to Shirdi. My parents visited Ganeshpuri to see me. They despaired of ever seeing me again. So they came out in 1972. And they wanted to have a little trip around. I said, you don't have to go anywhere. Just staying at the guru's feet, you see everything. But they didn't accept that. So my mother said, let's ask Baba to tell us where to go. I said, that's a great idea, but if he tells you, you have to do it. So she said, okay. And So he described a trip that which we took, and one of the places was Shirdi. So my parents and I went to Shirdi in 1972. And then again, I was there in 2004. And grown out of control. It's huge now. Baba says, all these beings, Sai Baba, Zipruana, where is Zipruana here? Where? Oh yeah, Zipruana. That those three in the front there. The top one is Baba meeting the Karmapa, the 16th Karmapa, a great Tibetan saint in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I had the great good fortune of hosting both of them back in 1974. 74. Yeah. And the next one down the. Naked Avadut, that's Zipruana, who was a great counselor to Baba. Baba was terrified of his own guru, which happens. He couldn't speak to him, but he had two great beings who he could speak to and who counseled him. One was Zipruana and the other was Harigiri. The bottom one you see, a young Baba on the right with Harigiri, who's a very humorous saint. So those pictures are always around Baba. He says they were great siddhas, food and money heaped around them, but in the hearts they had no attachment for such things. Devotees would go visit Sai Baba at Shirdi with their pockets loaded with money, hoping he would ask for it from them. However, he just asked for small quantities and only from certain people he chose. They thought that if he asked for money and gave it to him, that it would be increased thousandfold. Another place, Baba writes, there are superior planes which are subtler than the physical one. The Pichu Loka, for instance, is the world of ancestors. Loka is like a place or a world, and they're in subtle realms. Svarga Loka is paradise, which would be heaven. And there also exists a realm called Siddha Loka, where very evolved beings such as Bhagwan Nityananda, Zipruana and Sai Baba of Shirdi dwell. Baba would always talk about Siddha Loka, that all the great siddhas dwell there in subtle form, and they send help. Occasionally they reincarnate to help humanity. So his life, as we heard, he was born around 1838. He's another one of these mysterious avadhuts that we don't really know where he was born and what his name was. In the days of the internet, you can't do that anymore, can you? Everybody knows everything about you. But he arrived in Shirdi, which is a village about 200 kilometers from Ganeshpuri in Maharashtra, same state to the east. He arrived when he was 16 years old. That's 1854. And he lived there for the rest of his life except for 1 year. So in other words, he spent 64 years in Shirdi, dying, as I said, in 1918. As Baba said, his fame has grown and grown and grown. It's not known whether he was a Hindu or a Muslim. He canceled his personal history. He had devotees of both religions, and he also had a deep knowledge of the scriptures and practices of both. And his name reflects this. The name Sai is a Persian term which means saint, and usually attributed to Muslim holy men. And Baba is a Hindu term, as we call Baba Muktananda. It literally means father, and it's often applied to venerable gurus. Iqbal, is he a Muslim or a Hindu? Sai Baba. What?
He was a Muslim originally.
He what?
He was a Muslim.
Muslim, you think?
Yes. And when he went to Shirdi village, the devotees were Hindus there.
Yeah.
So everybody started respecting him.
Yeah. So he was beyond any, separate religion. He dressed like a Sufi. But he referred to having a Hindu guru. He would always talk about a Venkusha, a Hindu guru. And he lived in an abandoned mosque in Shirdi. And he kept a sacred fire burning, a duni. And he gave out ash to people for cures. You take some ash, you might eat it or put it on your tongue and cure you. His most famous remark, which Baba told us many times, is, I give people what they want so that they can come to want what I want to give them. Isn't that interesting? So in other words, they would come to him and pray for money, for a wife or a husband, for a child, you know. They pray for worldly things. And he says, I give him that so that they would want what I want to give them. What would he want to give them?
Liberation.
Hmm?
Liberation.
Liberation. He wanted to give them spiritual. But a lot of people weren't interested in that. They just wanted some kind of worldly success. So he said, I give it to them so that they'll eventually come to want what I want to give. He taught love and forgiveness and contentment, inner peace and devotion. And he stressed continuous japa, which is repetition of mantra, and devotion to the guru. And this is particularly, if you go to Morty Alec, see, the way this thing works is Morty Alec is an extension of Shirdi, just like this is an extension of Ganeshpuri. So mystically, everything's tied together. So you don't have to go to Shirdi, you can just go to Morty Alec. We have to show you the little temple there. So he... They have two words up near the little statue there in Morty Alec. It says Shraddha and Saburi, or faith and patience. So this is a summary of what he taught. To have faith in God and the Guru and patience. That's something we lack in our sadhana. We want it to be to get to the goal yesterday. So... Those words are there. They're worth thinking about. Shraddha, don't have doubts. You know that it's going to happen. And then patience. He died, as I said, 15th of October, 1918. And thousands of people came for his last darshan. And of course, a dispute arose between the Hindus and the Muslims about what kind of burial, what kind of funeral he should have. So it got so heated, they brought in a mamladar. What is a mamladar? Like a big...
Like a mayor.
A mayor?
Mayor.
A big cheese. Yeah? You know what the word...
Big, of the village.
Do you know big cheese? Do you know the term big cheese? No. The big shot. Big shot?
Big shot.
Yeah. From Kopagan, which is a town nearby. He was a local revenue officer... And he decided he didn't want to get involved in making a decision, so he decided to hold a referendum, which the Hindus won because they were in the majority. So he was given a Hindu burial in the present samadhi. He's buried there under the statue. And it said that 7,000 people showed up to show their respects, which would have been a huge amount, even in his lifetime. And gradually Shirdi became one of the main pilgrimage spots in Hinduism. And Narasimha Swami wrote a book called Sai Baba's Charter and Saying, and he gave a whole series of things that Sai Baba said during his lifetime. Particularly, he gave 11 statements about what happened after his death, and I'll do that at the end. I'll give just one now. He says, I shall be active and vigorous from the tomb also. So what does that mean? It means that if you turn to him or pray to him now, it still would be effective. So a couple of little stories. So one episode reports an upadesh of Baba. Upadesh is a spiritual instruction. When you go to a guru in India, you always want to get a mantra from them and upadesh, some spiritual instruction. So this is about an upadesh, about the necessity of the guru's guidance. Through the teacher's help, can you achieve something in this dangerous world? One of the devotees named Debolkar narrates, "On the first day of my arrival in Shirdi, there was a discussion between me and Balasab Bhatte," different devotee. All these pictures will be there in Morty Alec. Isn't that strange that the pictures of these village citizens should be there? It's very strange. They had a discussion about whether a guru was necessary or not. The writer says, didn't think that it was necessary. He says, "Why should we lose our freedom and submit to others? When we do our duty, why is the guru necessary? One must try his best and save himself. What can the guru do for a man who does nothing but sleep indolently?" So you have to make effort, he's saying. Thus I pleaded free will, while Mr. Bhatte took up the other side, destiny and guru's grace. He said, "Whatever is bound to happen must happen. Even great men have failed. Man proposes, but God disposes. Brush aside your cleverness, pride, or egoism won't help you." So this discussion went on and on for an hour or so, and no decision was reached, as usual. And we had to stop because we were so exhausted. The net result was that I lost peace of mind. So in our terms, what happened? You had a downward shift. When you talk about nonsense and so on, it brings you down. So you had a downward shift. Then they went to visit Sai Baba at the mosque, at the masjid. What is masjid? A mosque, you know? Yes. Small mosque or?
Same,
okay.
Small or big is mosque.
Yeah, okay. And Baba asked the following. He said, "What was going on in Sate's Wada?" So what were they talking about? Because he knew that they were talking. "What was the discussion about?" And staring at me, he further added, "What did this Himab say?" That the narrator, what did he say? Hearing these words, the narrator says, "I was much surprised," because this was at a considerable distance from where Sai Baba was. The next day, a devotee named K.D. went to Baba and asked whether he should leave Shirdi. Baba said, "Yes." Then someone asked Baba where to go. Baba said, "High up, go high up." Then the man asked, "How is the way?" Baba said, "There are many ways leading there. There is a way also from here. The way is difficult. There are tigers and wolves in the jungles on the way." And Katie, the man, asked, "But Baba, what if we take a guide with us?" And Baba answered, "Then there's no difficulty." See, that's speaking in allegorical terms. "The guide will take you straight to your destination, avoiding wolves, tigers, and ditches, etc., on the way. If there's no guide, there's the danger of you getting lost in the jungles or falling into ditches." And the commentator writes, Baba made three main points. One, the destination one must reach, that is mukti, liberation, is high up. So the goal of this metaphoric journey is high up. Two, the ways or margs leading to it are many. The marg means a path. One path originating from Shirdi. And three, the presence of a guide, that is a guru, is essential in order to reach the goal safely. There are many different paths to the divine: path of devotion, path of yoga, path of wisdom, so on. And such marg may be identified with that of love and devotion. This is with the guru. That is bhakti, which is the focal point of his upadesa, of Sai Baba's teaching. At its highest point, it is represented by the attitude of serene surrender to the teacher's will, which Baba constantly recommended. He said, surrender to the guru. The path of devotion surrender, the writer says, is not in contrast to other traditional paths, such as those of knowledge, jnana marg, and yoga, yoga marg. These are also present in Baba's teachings, though with minor emphasis, being recommended to a limited number of seekers. So he emphasized the need for a guru and the surrender. Okay, I've got one about devotion to the guru, then one about the path of wisdom. Ready? he said, one a woman named Radhabai Deshmukh came to Baba for teaching, but got none, and resolved upon Satyagraha. You know what that is? Satyagraha? It's like to fast until death. This is called a power trip. If the guru won't give me a teaching, I will fast until I die. So the, when you make a vow like that, you either die or you get a teaching. So she started fasting, but she'd only end with either death or upadesh from Baba, whichever one occurred first. After 3 days of her fruitless fast, the writer, who is a man named Deshpande, interceded with Baba on her behalf and requested him to utter some divine name in her presence. In other words, give her a mantra. Baba, for God's sakes, she's going to kill herself. Give her a mantra, do something. Baba sent for her and addressed her thus. Baba said, "Mother, why do you think of dying and torture yourself? Take pity on me, your child. I'm a beggar. Look here, my guru is a great saint and highly merciful. I fatigued myself in trying to serve him, and yet he did not utter any mantra in my ear. Instead, he first shaved me clean and begged of me 2 paise. That's a very small amount of money, like 2 cents. What he wanted was not metallic coins. He didn't even care for gold, but only nishta and saburi, which are the same too, faith and patience. Faith and courageous patience. I gave these to him at once, and he was pleased." They're very good, aren't they, those two? Faith and patience. "Mother, saburi is courage. Patience, it means courage. Do not discard it. It ferries you across to the distant goal. It gives manliness to men, eradicates sin and dejection, and overcomes all fear. For 12 years I waited on my guru, who is peerless and loving. How can I describe his love for me? When he was in love trance, in a samadhi, deep state, I sat and gazed at him, and we were both filled with bliss." And those of you who read Play of Consciousness, this will remind you of the way Baba stared at Bhagavan Nityananda and tried to absorb the essence of his beingness into him. He says, "I cared not to turn my eye upon anything else. Night and day I gazed upon his face with an ardor of love that banished hunger and thirst. The guru's absence, even for a second, made me restless. I meditated upon nothing but the guru and had no goal or object other than the guru." So this is very compassionate. He's giving her a teaching, isn't he, an upadesa, which is to focus on the guru. "Unceasingly fixed upon him was my mind. Wonderful indeed was the art of my guru," Sai Baba says. "I wanted nothing but the guru, and he wanted nothing but my love. Apparently actionless, he never neglected me, but always protected me by his glance." You know, Guru Gita says the guru's glance gives you everything. "That guru, I tell thee true, sitting as I do in this mosque, never blew any mantra into my ear, nor do I blow any into yours. Go thou and do likewise." So it wasn't Sai Baba. We're lucky, you know, Baba gave mantras. Sai Baba never did anything formal like that. He says, "If you make me the sole object of your thoughts and aims, you will attain paramartha, the supreme goal. Look at me with undivided attention, so will I look at you. This is the only truth my guru taught me. The 4 sadhanas and the 6 shastras or scriptures are not necessary. With entire confidence, trust your guru, that is enough." Saying, it doesn't matter about all the subtle paths of philosophy, the techniques, the methods. He's saying, just focus on the guru, that's sufficient. This is what Baba taught. Then, it says, the lady bowed, accepted the advice, and gave up her satyagraha. And the writer says, Baba asked for nishta and saburi from the lady, nothing else. He exhorts her to follow a sadhana of total surrender, as he did with his own guru, and to meditate on nothing other than the guru, that is himself. Sai Baba insists on the point that if perfect surrender is achieved, then no particular practices, scriptures, or mantras are necessary. Sai always refused the traditional modes of upadesa, or methods, consisting of initiation through mantra. What counts is a heart full of love and devotion for the guru. What is particularly striking in the text is the intense emotion animating Baba, revealing the heart of a great mystic. So that's one part of Baba, the sheer connectedness with the guru, where the sheer that psychic connection is enough to get you to the goal. And it's absolutely true that for some people that is the sufficient path. But Sai Baba also taught the path of wisdom. So I found one about wisdom, where he talks from a Vedantic point of view. Are you ready for this? Or are you gone into a trance from the last one? When you're in Ganeshpuri, if you just open to Bhagavan Nityananda or Baba Muktananda, you open your heart, you start to feel filled with energy, with shakti, and uplifted by it. This is actually something you can experience for yourself. All you have to do is test it. So the devotee asks, what is maya? So what is this great illusion that Vedantic philosophy talks about? What is maya? And are the different selves, the different individual selves, are they one and the same at bottom? Are the Atman, are they one and the same, or are they many? And Sai Baba says, that which is seen is the manifestation of Brahman through maya and will dissolve again into Brahman. So that's a great philosophical statement. He says, whatever you see, this world is the manifestation of God through maya, through some kind of reducing valve. This is all, and eventually it will dissolve back into the source, which is Brahman, or the Absolute. Sai Baba says, the crown of wisdom is the realization of the one Atman, the one self, from which everything is issued. So wisdom is to know that one consciousness, that one consciousness that is our essential nature, and everything comes from that one consciousness and returns to that consciousness. And we are conscious beings. And so what does that mean, that we're conscious beings? You have to contemplate that for yourself. Because your own consciousness, your own awareness is very mysterious. How do you know things? How are you capable of knowing and loving and so on? This is the mystery of your own awareness. And if you can get to the bottom of that mystery, you can attain the self. That's what he's saying. The devotee says, what am I? Sai Baba says, I am you, you are I. There's no difference between you and me. That which constitutes me constitutes you. The guru and disciple are one. All individuals are actually one in the self. He goes on, he says, people differentiate between themselves and others, their properties and others' properties. This is wrong. I am in you and you are in me. And then he bangs on the wall. He's in the mosque and there's a wall. He says, this is the Telly's wall. The Telly is an oil monger. T-E-L-I. He says, so the oil monger who sells oil lives on the other side of the wall of the mosque. He says, this separates him from me. The Telly lived next door to the mosque. Pull down this wall and we'll see each other clearly face to face. So there's a wall separating him, but it's only apparent. You take it down, then you'll see him. He says, saints do not recognize differentiation. To serve me, remove this differentiation. See everything as one. Another devotee says, I have the conviction so strong that it is into the marrow of my bones that life is one and that other beings and myself are one. The Atman is that one and is fully here in this moment, and I'm constantly engaged in spiritual practice, sadhana. So the question remains, why do I not actually experience that unity as none other than myself? So what's he saying? He's saying, I'm convinced that this one self is everywhere and I am that one self. I'm convinced of it, but I don't experience it. So Sai Baba says, your conviction of unity is an idea, a thought. It is not experience. For instance, your wife has a chest pain. Do you have chest pain? If not, where is the unity? The unity of life must be experience, not idea or thought without experience. I once asked Baba what the difference between knowing the truth intellectually and experiencing the truth. And he shocked me. I almost fell over when he didn't say what Sai Baba was saying. He said, it's not much difference. And I got very blissful from that because I realized that when you have that understanding is just one step away from experiencing it. So what you do is that if you have the understanding but you don't experience it, is you contemplate it. You say, all this is the one self. All this is the one self. And you work with that, and then eventually, if you're patient, if you have saburi, and you patiently contemplate that, then eventually it becomes your direct experience. He says, devotee, now, he says, the devotee says, Swami has to talk about experience, he means Sai Baba. If sadhana and conviction do not bring that unity as a real experience, then how is one to get it? That's an intelligent question. Okay, I know that I've read the scriptures, I know the truth, I know that everything is the one consciousness, but I don't feel it, I don't live it. So how to get it? So Baba is going to give a really good answer that will change our lives. And next week, no, I'm going to give it now, as you know. Baba said, listen to what he says. With steady sadhana, no special effort is needed to try and get the experience of one. Just as in a car, we need only concern ourselves with the careful driving of the car, and in due course, we will arrive at Portsea. No, he actually says, Anantapur. With correct and steady sadhana, in due course, the actual experience of one will naturally come about. So you're in the car and you're driving to Portsea or Melbourne, right? And wouldn't it be stupid for you to be saying in the car, saying, when will I get there? 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 You know, you know you're going in the right direction. You're making the effort. You're doing everything you need. Got enough petrol in the tank. So, and in natural course, you'll get there. That's what he's saying. But you have to be regular in your sadhana. You have to do practice. It means you meditate every day. You say the mantra. You meditate. You come to the ashram. You do your practice. And then inevitably, without even paying any attention to it, if you make that part of your routine, then everything necessary will happen. He says, Baba invited his followers to practice a regular sadhana without worrying about the result. Striving, after all, reinforces dualism and separation, while the realization of oneness should occur spontaneously, like the blossoming of a flower or a snake shedding its skin. So just do your practice, that's all. That's what he's saying. Meditate, come to satsang, do your practice. No? And don't worry about it. because it's being taken care of on a higher plane. Have faith in the power of the saint, the guru, and it will happen. So that, I'll just read you now some of his assurances, then we'll meditate. You like those bits? He's a very mysterious character, very unusual, not linear in any way, and didn't have a by-the-book teaching, but you get the feeling of great spiritual power and insight. So here's what his 11 assurances are. You ready? They're quoted everywhere. He says, one, whoever puts his feet on Shirdi soil, his suffering will come to an end. So if you go to Shirdi, but you see, if you go to Ganeshpuri, that's part of Shirdi. If you come to Mount Eliza, that's part of Ganeshpuri. If you go to Murti Alek, that's part of Shirdi. But even if you go to Shirdi and if you're not doing sadhana, that's not being in Shirdi. You have to be in Shirdi means do the practice and have faith. Second, the wretched and miserable will rise to joy and happiness as soon as they climb the stairs to my mosque. So he's saying that my grace will be there. Many of you have experienced Bhagwan's grace in Ganeshpuri, which is clearly there. Next, I shall be ever active and vigorous even after leaving this earthly body. And this is true of the great beings, that their influence is always there, their power, their shakti is always there. Next, my tomb shall bless and speak to the needs of my devotees. Next, I shall be active and vigorous even from the tomb. Next, my mortal remains will speak from the tomb. I know Bhagwan Nityananda is always talking to Devi Ma. And then he says, this is a great one, if you look to me, I look to you. So if we focus on the great beings, what are we're actually focusing on our consciousness, on God. And so if we keep our focus there, all the joy and upliftment of that come in. He says, if you cast your burden on me, I shall surely bear it. If you seek my advice and help, it shall be given to you at once. And this goes for Baba Muktananda and Shirdi Sai Baba and Bhagwan Nityananda, all the great beings. There shall be no want in the house of my devotee, he said. And he also said, Allah Malik, God is king. And Suba Malik Ek, everyone's master is one. Is that a good translation?
Yes.
There's only one God, one consciousness. And if you focus on that, all good things will come to you. What do you reckon? This is actually the promise of all the great beings. They all always offer the same thing to all their devotees. They give you a channel through which you can focus on the divine, whether it's Jesus or any number of other saints and great beings. They're a connecting point for our relationship with the divine, to higher consciousness. Makes it very easy. So let's meditate. Did any of those strike you? Yes, no?
Yes.
So if one of them struck you, take that and work with that. And however you interpret it or however you work with it, do that. Trust your intuition in these things. And so we'll meditate for 10 minutes and we'll focus on that higher principle which is embodied in all the great beings. Focus on it in whatever way is natural to you, whichever great form it takes. And if you're doing it properly, you'll discover that through that connection, you're immediately uplifted, that the Shakti immediately responds to you. So remembering the great Sai Baba of Shirdi, once again, with great respect and love, I welcome you all with all my heart. And let's meditate for 10 minutes. Satguru Nath Maharaj Ki Jai.